Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, greetings everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am, as always, the beautiful, talented Jason Ophir, joined with the also beautiful and talented psychic medium Sherry. This is 2 weeks in a row that we are live. I'm taking a lot of breaks lately, and so we're just going with it. Sherry, how you doing?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not bad. I actually feel okay. I mean, we were talking about my heart palpitations last time, and, well, they're still palpitating, but, still among the living. What about you? What do you got going on?
I'm doing good, Jason. Just kind of kicking back and getting some things done before the week, this coming week. And, yeah, I'm just kind of hanging in there. So, yeah.
Cool. Well,
to say.
Yeah. All right. We can end the show now, everybody. Have a good night. Thanks for tuning in. No. I was supposed to get you a video of the strange thing on my outdoor camera that I see frequently. And I've been looking to do that, but I haven't seen it. But I have noticed a couple things that have happened in my house. And just as a recap, I live in new construction, and there have been a few things that have raised my eyebrows in terms of potential paranormal activity over the course of the few years that I've lived here. I do not believe where I live is haunted, unless maybe something was going on with the land beforehand. But one thing I did notice a few days ago is I went to leave. It's still dark out. I get about, I don't know when I left, 6:30. And I go into the garage, and I just kind of stop as I walk in, and the garage door has windows you can look out. So I was just looking outside, seeing how bad the rain is. And as I'm standing there, I hear a whistle, like, in the garage. And how I could tell, or how I perceived it as being in the garage, is, you know how garages kind of have this echo, you know? At least mine does, mm-hmm. You know, just the sound quality of it. So it did not sound like a whistle outside. It literally sounded like it was the other end of the garage. And it was dark in there. It was pitch black in there. I hadn't turned the light on. And I had to turn the light on because it freaked me out. It was a short. It was just like a. And it didn't really startle me, but I was like, just the way it was sounding, was like, man, it sounded like it was just at the other end of the garage. And it had that sort of echo to it, not like somebody outside or a neighbor or anything like that. Was it paranormal? I have no idea, but it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And but that's really the only paranormal thing that I've noticed lately. So I don't know, maybe it wasn't paranormal, maybe it was just something weird outside, but it sounded like it was close to me.
Can I ask you, it's not about your car, you know, maybe your car selling in or anything like that?
No, the car had been sitting there all night. No, the car car wasn't turned on, light wasn't on when I walked in there, and yeah. So I don't know. It may have been nothing, but it was very distinct. It wasn't faint. It was relatively loud. And like I said, it just had that harmonic to it where it sounded like it was there with me. So maybe a spirit was trying to get my attention. I don't know.
Well, this is not the only time that you've had some things going on in your house.
Yeah, it's pretty sporadic. Another thing that happened a few days before that is my girlfriend was on the middle floor, and both cats were up with me, and she comes up and sees one of the cats at the top of the stairs, and she says, "Oh my God, this cat's fast." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Both cats have been up here the whole time. I know for a fact they were up there with me the whole time because I was playing with one of them and I could see the other one." And she says that while she was on the middle floor, she saw one of our cats named Sophie walk from the middle floor down to the first floor when the whole time the cats were with me. So I don't know how to interpret that, you know, maybe a ghost cat or something, but you know, it's little things like that that just kind of make you wonder, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do exist, that's for sure. Wow. See, have you ever thought about having a paranormal investigative team go in and check your place out?
No, because I don't feel my place is haunted. I think if there is any sort of activity, it's likely transient. You know, there was that near full body apparition that was spotted. But nothing crazy. I mean, the walls aren't bleeding and objects aren't flying around. Now, the place I was at before, which you've talked about many times, when I was living in that lady's basement, that's when, you know, things flying off the walls. But here, it's relatively calm. Now, what I am going to do, and I have surveillance cameras everywhere, inside and out, because I've spent 20 years in security industry, so that's just the way I am. But I don't keep the motion activation on inside the house, partially because I don't want to know what goes on when I'm asleep. I don't want to see if things are, you know, so I don't want to see something weird. But I decided last night or shortly after when I heard the whistle, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to turn on motion activation and just start seeing what goes on in here when I'm asleep.
That'd be cool.
And I will keep everybody updated. And if something is captured, I will make a video on my phone and send it to you. We've seen some pretty interesting orbs, but as you know, I'm not a believer in the orbs. That's what's going on in my place.
Well, if you see any orbs, send them my way. I'll check them out. I can tell if they're real or not, or it's just paranoia. So send them my way. If you have a really good camera, go ahead and enlarge it and send them my way. I'll check them out for you, like I said, and I'll see what I get.
Actually, you know, I do have a very good camera that I haven't used in years. I should break it out and start taking pictures. But part of the reason I don't do that, you know, I have all the ghost hunting stuff. I intentionally do not investigate my place because I believe in the power of intention. If I put that energy out there where I'm seeking validation of some sort of spiritual activity, I fear that I may manifest it. So that's why I'm not running EVPs in my house or anything like that. You know, I don't want to, while I'm skeptical, I don't want to, you know, draw anything into where I put my head at night, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, I just want to make an announcement. Anybody wants to call in and share their experience or have any questions, you can call in on our radio show at 1-215-383-3999. Again, it's 1-215-383-3999. If anybody wants to call in, you're welcome to.
Absolutely. So that's what's going on. I guess, you know, we're just going to wing it tonight. I think you have a topic that you wanted to discuss, and I pulled up some stuff on conspiracy theories. I think it's been a little while since we've mentioned conspiracy theories. But what did you – you had something you wanted to talk about that you ran into.
Well, there's a couple things. One of my clients, he might be calling in. He said he was pretty a little bit nervous in calling in. We'd like to share it, but he's a little bit nervous. So I'm going to share this, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't mind. But it's interesting how I think this will go along with conspiracy theory. So I'm not going to name this person unless this person wants to call, and you know, we won't identify him. But he says that his iPhone took it upon himself to block his contact, who he can't imagine the reason why it would ever be blocked. But that person also has interest in accurate information about the world events versus bullshit, BS, to typical places online. So photos have been coming up missing on my phone, seemingly unrelated, but probably not entirely so, turn of events. The airline did something screwy with this part of the multi-person reservation. They said it was something with his name and then had to figure out how to correct it, which took some time. Notice that this platform that you're reading did not scold me for recent posts with info from uncensored places. The info is beneficial to know and difficult or impossible to find a typical search engine. I half expected for that to happen given the last 3 years of strange censorship on here. Something odd is going on, and I'm interested to know if anybody else is experiencing similar oddities as well. So, what do you think?
I've noticed some weird glitches with electronics lately, but I don't know that that's anything. I mean, electronics are very complex, and, you know, software's probably easily corruptible, and there's always glitches and stuff like that. I've noticed my phone do weird stuff. I play a lot of VR. Just the other night, there was weird stuff going on. But I mean, I chalk it up to just the electronics are finicky, you know.
Right.
But,
that could be.
But
well,
at the same time, I believe that the government is spying on us in every conceivable way possible, and it wouldn't surprise me if certain agencies out there are not messing with people electronically. And I mean, who really knows what the government's doing behind the scenes to its own population? If you look back 50, 60, 70 years ago, our own beloved government did pretty heinous things to the population. It's not just third world countries and dictatorships where they do bad things. It's us as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if stuff like that's going on, you know, if they're manipulating our social media or electronic devices, or, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Mhm. Yeah, you never know what's really going on. Okay, Jason, have you heard of psychomantium? Psychomantium, an ancient tool for contacting the dead and making breakthroughs in paranormal investigations right now?
That word sounds familiar to me. I think I've heard it somewhere, but I don't remember what it's associated with.
Yeah, it's interesting because the latest episode of Travel Channel's Kindred Spirits, Amy Booney and Adam Berry investigate a mysterious haunted mirror in Gettysburg's famed Farmsworth House. Have you been to the Gettysburg? A lot of activity in the Gettysburg area.
I've seen the videos of, like, ghost soldiers in the tree lines and weird lights, but I don't really know much, you know, specifically paranormal, what's going on out there. I mean, a bunch of people died, I know that. But I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty weird. I mean, I was in Kuwait, eight, 9 years ago, and we were in Iowa Valley, where King Kamehameha. And even with your own eyes, I've seen orbs. I've been very fortunate. I've seen orbs, and we call those flashes, you know, where they look like those shooting stars, but they're like flashes. I forgot the name of them. But anyway, yeah, a lot of activity in that area. But they said that you cannot be out there. They suggest you not to be there after dark because you don't want the night marches coming after you. And you know, if you stay there after dark, whatever reasons, you're never going to be alive the next day. So they had you leave way before dark. So that was quite interesting. It was a big, bloody massacre, big war.
You know, I'm pretty leery when it comes I'm pretty cognizant of my own personal safety and not putting myself in those situations. But for that particular instance with the night marchers, which we've talked about many times over the years, I think I would have the guts, if not by myself, but if somebody went with me, I would go out there and see if that's true or not. because I'm super skeptical. I don't see myself I don't see myself dying in that sort of situation.
Right, right. I do believe in them. I have not encountered them, but I do believe that they do exist. I mean, Hawaii's got a big history, just like the indigenous species has a big history over here in this land. But, yeah, I believe that the night marches exist, and they have their route that they go, and they let their people know, unless you are a descendant of one of the night marchers, you better be show respect and lay flat on the ground and don't look at them.
Look at it. I don't see, there's a Hawaii has a tremendous history, a lot of death and suffering, I'm sure, but so has every other place in the world. So why would that be specific to Hawaii? Why would there not, you not hear about similar things with the Native Americans in the States, where you would go out and they would kill you? Maybe it exists. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, check it out. You need to go and search night marchers. And so, Joe, I'd like to have Joe. I haven't talked to him for a long time, but Joe Panohu from Hawaiian Hauntings. We'll have to have him talk about that. But he's a descendant of one of the night marchers. So it's going to be interesting when we have him back. But I want to go and switch back to the psychomantium. That's right. Okay, so what it is the paranormal investigators use an object to construct an ancient device to contact the dead. So whether using tarot cards during investigations, performing classic seances, making use of an Estes method, sometimes in the most unique tools which provide the most intriguing responses. So in the show, they were using that, the kindred spirits, they were using a device to draw the spirits. It's a method of summoning the dead, which has all but forgotten by today's paranormal investigators. How does it work? Interesting.
Is it an electronic device? I know people use electromagnetic pumps and stuff like that to give the spirits energy to manifest. But is it, you said it was in like an ancient technology, so it obviously wouldn't have any electronics. It's like a ritual or something?
So what it is, according to Raymond Moody, I've heard his name before, he placed a chair in front of a large scrying? Is it kind of like scrying? Placing a chair in the front of a large mirror hung on a wall, which is tilted forward at 45 degrees angle. And as to obscure the gazer's own reflection, behind the chair was placed a low wattage lamp, meant to replicate the soft glow of a single candle. Before seeing themselves in the psychomantium, subjects were asked to focus on a loved one who has since passed, then the gazing session would begin. The results were astounding. Out of the objects or subjects, a quarter of them stated that they had made contact with the dead, seeing and even speaking with their loved ones in the mirror's reflection. About 10% of these subjects are said that the spirits actually came out of the mirrors and touched them. Nearly a quarter of the cases, the contact with the dead didn't occur immediately, but within 24 hours of the session. So even after starting, nearly every single subject strongly stated that the reunions were not fantasies or dreams, but insisted upon they were real events with elements of physicality. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, guess what I won't be trying anytime soon. Hey, from a investigative standpoint, I've stared in the mirrors quite a lot, and I know if you stare into a mirror and unfocus your eyes, you can see some stuff. So that's what I would wonder with that. If these images that you're seeing are just not generated by your brain, being triggered by the lighting and the angle of the mirror, I could totally see
or trauma.
That possibility.
I want to see my dead dog, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, I hope he comes through, right?
But you got to be careful with the mirrors. I know you probably haven't seen the movie Oculus, which is an evil haunted mirror. So if you actually like that movie, check it out. Or whoever likes listening likes horror movies.
Is it something that you have to worry about going to bed and you have to wonder if that's there's some truth to that?
No, it's not terribly scary, but it does have a mirror, and I just like the twists and turns of the movie. Again, it's called Oculus, and but mirrors can be creepy. You know, I wouldn't probably want to sleep in a room that have those big closet mirrors or anything like that. I don't have a phobia of mirrors, but, you know, I don't want to be
portals. Mirrors are portals anyway, but I don't have a problem with mirrors. I don't, as long as I don't buy them from, you know, antique store or Goodwill or something like that. You don't know. Sometimes mirrors can be cursed, and sometimes they can be bound with the spirit. So in the paranormal sense, you got to know who you're buying it from and the history of it. You don't want to bring something home that you wish, you pray that, you know, you have all kinds of unfortunate circumstances. As a matter of fact, was it three years ago or two years ago? We did a stint over at Harvey's Comedy Club. We went underneath the Shanghai basement, and I was invited as a psychic medium to do some readings down there under the Shanghai tunnels, right? You remember that?
Vaguely, yes. I remember that you went down there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, that was quite interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going on a tangent right now. yeah, you just got to be careful.
So, since you brought up haunted objects, I wanted to say that literally about an hour ago, I was watching YouTube, and I was watching clips from Pawn Stars, which I love watching Pawn Stars, and some lady comes in with a porcelain or pottery duck that ended up being a couple thousand years old. Apparently it was a duck that was likely buried with somebody of some kind of nobility in Mexico. I guess that was a thing that they did back then, that they had these porcelain animals and you get buried with them. And what was interesting about it is she was talking about it, and she's like, yeah, the reason I want to get rid of this is because there's a lot of weird stuff going on ever since I bought it, and stuff's falling off the shelves, and I'm seeing things, and the Pawn Stars are just like, yeah, whatever, but maybe it's a thing. As you know, I'm not a big super believer in haunted objects, but anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny because you brought up the potential of having a haunted mirror.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jason, you know me. Well, I believe that the things can be haunted. Oh, as a matter of fact, when we were talking about Harvey's, I remember now the gal that we were in the paranormal investigation, they bought a mirror from, the Goodwill. It was a round mirror. She showed it to me. And ever since they brought it home, they split up since then. The couple that were together at that time. But anyway, they had so many misfortunes from, you know, having health problems. Their animals were sick, some financial problems, problems with the neighbors. I mean, you name it. And so she mentioned it to me, you know, for a reading, and I told her to get rid of the mirror. And when she did, everything was fine. Everything settled out, you know, everything. So I don't know if it was just, you know, a coincidence or whatever. You can think about whatever you want to say or think or whatever, but just knowing the results of before and after, they were very pleased, you know. They moved out. As a matter of fact, they actually moved out. So nothing's been trailing them since after they got rid of that mirror. But that mirror was kind of creepy anyway. So I don't know. It's pretty vintage. It's like early 1900s. He thought it was really cool and everything, but brought a lot of problems, lots and lots of problems in their family.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like if stuff's going on in a house, if stuff's going on in a house, it's easy to kind of associate it with an object. You know what I mean? Like, say you're an antiquer and you go out and, oh, check out this mirror. So you buy the mirror, and then a few weeks or days later, a couple weird things happen, and then your mind goes, oh, it's the mirror, because I didn't notice anything weird before we got the mirror. And I don't know. If I'm a spirit, why am I going to haunt an object? Like, that just does not sound like a good time to me.
Well,
like, if I'm
going to
haunt
maybe
something, I'm going to, like,
well,
start
maybe
running around.
Scrying. Maybe they were doing some scrying and doing things that were, you know, maybe spells or something. Who knows? I don't know. But it's interesting how mirrors, reflections like that are a portal to the other side, portal to the other dimensions. Absolutely. But they say not to buy them if you can, unless you know the history of them.
Okay, I'm taking the mirror out of my bathroom now, just in case.
Well,
no mirrors in the South.
Oh, my gosh. I remember when I went to Ireland, I was like, wow, we went to an antique place. And everything you knew when you walked in, the energy was heavy. A lot of history, a lot of heaviness, a lot of attachments to, you know, the furniture. And it was just freaking heavy. I mean, wow. I mean, a lot of stories to tell in many layers. But, it was crazy. It was crazy. Never been in a big, antique place that was like a warehouse in Ireland.
Now, I will get with you on that when you talk about heavy energy, because I've been in places that on the surface look fine, but you walk in, you're like, something just feels off. It feels heavy, like something bad happened here. Because I've told you in the past that I've done that, and then later to find out somebody was killed there, you know, died there. And so, I get that.
So there is a difference between a haunting and residual energy. So, you know, how a record player plays on and on and on, there is a big difference. So you got to know the difference and being able to interpret what happened and if it's just a repeat of what had happened but not an actual haunting. So it's just one of those things. You got to decipher the difference.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. If you're in a haunted place and an entity responds to you intelligently or acknowledges you by looking at you, then it's probably an intelligent haunt. If it's just residual, it'd just be, you know, random. Like you said, a tape playing over and over again. You might hear sounds. You might see things, but there's no communication. There's no acknowledgement of your existence in a residual haunting.
Wow. So can I say this from Amy Bruni from the Travel Kindred Spirits and Adam? Their quote was, fortunately, a pit stop to Gettysburg was right along the way. When we had just arrived, they told us that they were dealing with a very old and potentially very haunted mirror that the owners claimed could have been the source of an aggressive paranormal activity in their building. We already knew it was going to be a unique case, but we didn't realize how strange it was about to get. So a few days left to shooting the case, Amy and Adam were looking for a way to investigate the mirror that would yield the best results. The team immediately got to work building that might have been the largest modem ever made. Interesting. Okay. So they're showing about the 45-degree angle. Once it was safe and secure, place a bowl beneath the mirror. And then what they did is they would gaze into the water's reflection in place where the mirror made contact with the water. Once everything was secure, it lit a candle behind the designated gazing seat and hit the lights. Adding one more twist to this contraption, it was decided that both of them would use a psychomantium at the same time. Not only was it big enough, but also having two gazers to two gazers instead of one gazer would confirm or negate the visions presented in the mirror as whether it's hallucination or the real thing. So you got to be shocked with the outcome. They found some stuff. You have to go and look at the, you're going to have to look at the show. They didn't want to give it away. You have to look at the show to see the outcome.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. But again, when I think about that, I think about, not saying it's not true, I don't know, I'd have to look into it. But you there are very similar things. See, so you're in a low light situation, you know, with a light behind you, and you're looking in a mirror, and I can just see the brain doing wacky stuff. And, you know, people in sensory deprivation chambers where you're floating in water and, you can't hear anything and it's dark, it's like a commercial thing now. It's called floating because people go to these places that have those little float cylinders where you're deprived of your senses. And they have, like, total, like, out-of-body experiences and hallucinations and all this stuff. So with that particular device, it just seems to me that could be like a similar deal where you're in a low light situation and your brain's just going to be firing off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well,
we'll have to look into it a little more and see what people are claiming from it. Either way, it's irregardless whether it's real or not. I believe that people are having the experiences. It's not saying that it's not happening, but I'm just saying that potentially it could be just a manifestation of one's own biology, brain, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that could be very well, very much so. Well,
I always rain on everybody's parade, you know. Somebody says
your
they
turn,
see
Jason.
Something. And well, we can kind of transition to this conspiracy theories. We haven't talked about this a lot. And, you know, one of the big ones and that most everybody has heard about is that the moon landing was fake. There are a lot of people that believe that we never landed on the moon, that it was done on a stage somewhere. Some of the reasons that people believe that we never landed on the moon is they said that the flag was moving in the wind. Well, how is it possible if there's no wind, there's no atmosphere? And they were saying in the photographs, there's no stars in the sky whatsoever, and the shadows are misaligned. And these are the points of the conspiracy theorists regarding the moon landing. And honestly, my own personal opinion is I don't know. But with that, I would also say it wouldn't surprise me if it was fake. Because you have to look at the time. The Russia and the United States, you know, were fighting to be on the top with everything. Russia launches Sputnik, and they're the first man in space. You know, it's this race. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was faked.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
I'm here. Yes,
oh,
I can hear
okay.
You now. That's weird. We just got a interruption. I was wondering if I got cut off or not.
Well, that's the government. They don't want us to talk about that the landing on the moon was fake, so they're trying to shut off our feed.
Hmm. Is that what you're thinking? Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, we'll have to have Eric Mitchell back on. He'd be great about talking about that stuff.
Last time
I heard, he was in Area 51.
Oh, very nice.
About a week ago. And he was heading out to Sedona area, Arizona. So, but, you're kidding. I don't know what to say.
Well, we'll never know if we actually landed on the moon. Of course, we just will have to go on not knowing. Here's another conspiracy theory. I had not heard of this one before, that the Earth had been sucked into a black hole, basically as a result of the CERN, the big particle accelerator in Europe, that discovered a new particle, the Higgs boson, in 2012. they are saying that because of this particle accelerator that the Earth got, they basically created a black hole that the Earth got sucked into. What's the significance of that? I don't know. Would we know if we got sucked into a black hole? I suspect at some point we would know that. Why people believe that, I don't know. There's a lot of talk around this big particle accelerator. I believe it's the largest in the world. And I have heard things over the years. There is concern that they're creating microscopic black holes. There have been some pretty wild videos posted on YouTube of crazy weather above CERN when they apparently had CERN turned on. So I don't know. Who knows what that thing can do? There's even crazier stories out there regarding CERN, supposedly. And I think I talked about this years ago, and I don't remember the details. But there was one crazy story where, like, they turned it on and, like, really weird paranormal stuff started to happen and people died weird ways. Like, I don't know, their skin turning inside out or some just crazy thing. So there you have it. CERN in Europe is creating all sorts of potential world-ending situations. I don't know enough about particle physics to know really anything about it. I'm not that smart. Some of us are just working people, you know, we're the laborers, and I'm one of them. I'm not book smart. I'm street smart.
Mm-hmm.
If society ever crashes, I'd be very good and adept at defending myself and surviving, but I don't have the brain of a scientist or a professor. I don't have those. I don't have those kind of brain cells. Was never good at school.
You were never good at school?
Never good at school. Never a student. I'm always just kind of a working man, you know, just the bottom tier of society. I guess that's probably not the bottom tier of society. I mean, I have a job and all that. Yeah, just not super smart. Now everybody else in my family has a PhD, but I'm not genetically related to them because I'm adopted, so I didn't get the smart gene, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, it's a good thing. You're your own person.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, you know, when two very smart people have a child. I've seen several instances where the child is like a genius, you know? So there is some sort of biological DNA thing going on. And I'll give you an example of that. My sister, very smart, PhD, her husband, who has since committed suicide years ago, they had a child. So, and he was very smart too, is probably smarter than my sister. And so they had a child who was a legitimate child prodigy. So much so that he was even featured on the television show Ellen, you know, with Ellen DeGeneres. Just one of these just super, super intelligent people. And, you know, he like got his, I don't know, master's degree when he was like six or something, you know, like probably not that young, but, you know, like 12, 13, something like that. And he now works in what's that?
Is his sister adopted? Or is she the bio of your parents?
Well, you kind of broke up on the first part.
I said, is your sister the bio of, you know, is that her parents or I mean, yeah, they, is she adopted or biological?
She's biological to my parents, who are both PhDs, my father in mathematics, and my mother in psychology, who's a notable psychology author. So she got the smart gene, and my sister got the smart gene. She married somebody who was smart. They had a kid who was so smart he was on Ellen and is, you know. So I don't know. This is kind of a genetic tangent here, but just saying that it's interesting to see. It probably doesn't happen in all cases, but the potentiality is there. If two really intelligent people have a child, that child could be potentially super smart. And going back to me being not one of those super smart people, so clearly my parents were not academics.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm not stupid.
Okay, then.
I'm smart in my own way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just because you don't have a degree doesn't make you a better person. There's a lot of people that have degrees and they don't have any common sense. So, I mean, it's just you paid to educate yourself.
It's funny, the melting pot of humanity. You have super dumb people, like they can't tie their shoes, and then you have the super smart people who are working on quantum mechanics, and then you have the vast majority of everybody else in between. You know, it's just interesting the just how everything is balanced in the universe. You know, the duality of everything: light, dark, hot, cold, smart, dumb, super hot looking, super ugly. I mean, it's just all balanced out.
That's crazy. Yeah, it is. Really is. Hey, I'm going to switch this out really quick. Have you ever seen a chupacabra?
I have once, but it was my ex-girlfriend. And then I realized it was my ex-girlfriend.
You were in love with a chupacabra.
Well, it was dark. It was dark, and yeah. I have not seen a chupacabra. I'm familiar with it. I know that there have been some that have killed and captured, and they have been studied, and it turned out to be like a dog that lost all its hair, or a deformed dog that's lost all its hair. I don't know that there's any really scientific evidence of it.
Well, if you go on YouTube, they actually, you know what? I don't know if it could be computer graphics or whatever, but I've seen them on YouTube, some really weird, funky looking animals that they've captured, and you wonder if it's really true or, you know, it's computer generated. But I do believe that they exist. Sometimes, you know, we're there at the right place in the right time. There's all kinds of strange creatures. You know, we're talking about cryptozoology that we don't even see, you know, with, you know, just normal, just like the Mothman or all kinds of weird things. Hatman. Yep.
Yeah, you know, we're discovering things all the time, particularly when you start talking about new species, usually the ocean, because it's difficult to explore the entirety of the ocean and all its depths. I would be surprised if a mammal-like creature of that size, the size of a dog, would be undiscovered, but who knows? I mean, they discover things all the time in the rainforest, new insects, new plants, and maybe something like that slipped through the cracks, and maybe it's just so incredibly rare.
So the chupacabra is supposed to be, according to this, 6 to 8 feet tall with long clawed arms and hideous fangs. So are you talking about it's an offshoot of a dog, canine?
The ones that I've seen are small. I've never heard of a chupacabra looking like that. The ones that I saw were like hairless dogs. So, I mean, I would be surprised if an 8-foot flying rodent was undiscovered. But now I have to Google it. So I'm not an expert.
You have to. You have to. The difference are in the mouth. They said it's like a species of a kangaroo. It counts to tell the chupacabra being almost identical to the picture on the right. It looks weird. I mean, it looks like kind of like a I didn't even look like a dog in a way, but not even. It's like just super gigantic. It says that the mouth is elongated. It's got a very elongated face with a cat-like nose and teeth ridge along its back, not dissimilar to the iguanas. In Puerto Rico, it's allegedly killed 8 sheep, leaving behind a pile of bloodless corpses. The beast is also found in Texas, Costa Rica, and Mexico. It is a cousin of the world's vampire bat, 3 species of which lives in parts of Mexico, Central America, and South America.
And it looks like
people believe it comes from outer space, while others may say it's a result of a U.S. military experiment. That's kind of interesting.
From what I can tell, it looks like the chupacabra is a relatively new phenomenon. Apparently, the first attack attributed to an actual chupacabra occurred in 1995 when 8 sheep were discovered dead in Puerto Rico. They also coined the chupacabra called the goat sucker. There was a case in 1975 where a bunch of livestock were killed, and it was suspected that it was committed by a satanic cult, and there were more killings around this place. And the supposed animal, it wasn't coined a chupacabra back in 75, but the animals were bled dry through a series of small circular incisions. So it looks like a relatively new phenomenon. I remember hearing about it for years.
That's weird. Yeah, and there's people that have witnessed it. You probably should listen to it on YouTube. I've listened to people that they don't want to disclose their name for whatever reasons, but they seem to be convinced that they are out there.
The most common description of a chupacabra is that of a reptile-like creature said to have leathery or scaly greenish skin and sharp spines or quills running down its back. It's said to be approximately 3 to 4 feet high and stands and hops around like a kangaroo. Common description of the chupacabra is a strange breed of wild dog. The form is mostly hairless and has a pronounced spinal ridge and usually pronounced eye sockets, fangs, and claws. I guess that's where I those are the ones that I were seeing on YouTube. But who knows? I would not want to be out there at night and run into an 8-foot chupacabra or a 4-foot chupacabra. Probably a dog with rabies.
Yeah.
Do dogs get rabies? I guess they do.
Yeah, there's a lot of cryptoid things that we don't even know or even touch the surface. There's a lot of them. You know, who is it that we've had quite a few times? Oh, my goodness, he's right off the tip of my tongue. Ross Allison, him and Ross Allison have wrote books and everything. He's a good wealth of information about those kind of things, cryptozoology creatures.
I've always been in the position that I have to kind of see it to believe it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to I just don't trust people. So, if I don't see it, then it's just a story. But, you know, if I go out there and I'm out there and I see something hopping like a kangaroo with big fangs and claws, I might be a believer. That might turn me. But just some story, who knows? Maybe people are out camping doing acid or eating shrooms and they see a chupacabra or a Bigfoot. I don't know. Story is just a story.
There's lots and lots of creatures out there. Wow. Yeah, so I don't know. I've never seen anything weird. The weird ones I've seen coming out, like you said, is the oceans.
Yeah, they're always finding new things. You start getting down into the depths of the ocean. Some of those fish down there are terrifying, like something out of a horror movie.
Wow. Who was it that was talking about the Black Eyed Children? Gosh, I forgot his name. We're friends on Facebook. Do you remember Ross Allison, his partner?
I don't.
Right on the tip of my I don't know. I haven't talked to him for a long time. I'm seen ages. But, yeah, just he'd be the kind of person that would he would really thoroughly investigate that kind of stuff, whether to see if it's true or it's just in your imagination or just somebody's making this stuff up. So, yeah, forgot his name. Sorry about that, folks.
You know, the whole black-eyed children thing is kind of another one of those all the new things. There goes back to the 80s where there was tabloid coverage of creatures, like kids with black eyes. And so that's been kind of going on since the 80s, but it really became prominent in 1996. Somebody in actually Portland, Oregon said they had a similar black-eyed children encounter, you know, where they knock on your door and some people think that they're a harbinger of something bad that's going to come, or they want to come inside your house and never let the black-eyed kids into your house. And in 2012, there was a horror movie called Black-Eyed Kids, and it was produced with Kickstarter funding. And it's an urban legend. I know of one person personally that says they had an encounter. I'm no longer in contact with that person, so I don't remember the specifics behind it. But I remember back then thinking that, you know, there's something called, and maybe not everybody's aware of this, there are sclera lenses, which are the black lenses that you can put over your eyes, and they're about $100. Anybody can just order them online. So when I hear of things like that, I think of somebody just slapping some sclera lenses on their kids or something, you know, but who knows?
Well, I don't know if you remember Barry Gaunt. We used to have him on our radio show quite often and over the past, and Barry Gaunt has had a personal experience with the black-eyed children. He was at the gas station or store, and he looked at this person. This person wasn't right. It was like he came from a different era. And when he looked at him closely, there was no white parts in his eyes. I mean, this was like 20 years ago, 20 years ago. He said the guy creeped him out really bad. And for those who don't know what black-eyed children are, they're ghoulish creatures who have been trying to gain entrance to homes and vehicles. Since 1996, they usually appear at night, knocking on your door or window and begging to be let inside. Unfortunately for the children, they are almost always rejected since the aura of terror clings to them. So what happens is basically if you let them in the house, no matter what, there's things that happen to your home, whether you have, you know, misfortunes, whether it's your health, your marriage, your home, anything that you can think of. So, but you are right. I'm looking. It says, I'm going to look at that. It is a movie. I didn't realize they had a movie called Black Eyed Children Let Me In at 2015 is a movie. So I'm going to have to check that out. But they have black eyed children and adults, not just one or the other. So they think that they're possibly, if there's some sort of alien human hybrid that could account for their psychic abilities, difficult with our speech, and of course their eyes. It doesn't explain their motives, though. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Another explanation in some instances, people are actually tattooing the whites of their eyes black.
That's great.
And I don't know. I know. Some people. Some people do it in prison. I'm sure some people do it out of prison. It's not a good idea for obvious reasons, but the process of that, I couldn't imagine the pain associated with tattooing your eyeball. But some people are really into that, and those are usually the type of people that have 50 million piercings and full body tattoos and big lip and ear hoops and all sorts of crazy implants.
Wow. Anymore. It's really, yeah, I don't think this is all about, you know, dyeing your white parts of your eye bad. I mean, these reports have just been a well-publicized report since the late 90s. There were so many reports of creepy children have started rolling in, and these people don't know each other, but their accounts seem to be rather fascinating of how similar they are. So anytime you have your home or vehicle, if they're ranging from 8 to late teens and they seem to have solid black in their eyes, don't it's less likely, don't bring them in your house or your car.
Just a word of, in addition to that, a word of common sense and your own safety. Don't let any children you don't know into your home, whether they have black eyes or not.
They could be hybrids, right, from a different dimension.
Or you could get charged with kidnapping and God knows what else.
No telling. So they hang out in groups of 2 to 4 individuals, appear to be 8 years old and late teens, wear clothes that are outdated or wrong for the season, speak audibly as if it's not their native language, very demanding and pushy, request entry to your home, car, life in some way or another, emotionally or with their words vocally, appear and disappear without any type of explanation, often exhibit strong psychic powers, can disrupt and affect electrical devices, and have an aura that scares and disturbs your animals. So what they want is they want permission to come in your home. There are occasionally reports of people who have let them in live, and they're rare, and cases that people have fled shortly after letting them in. One account was a couple let the children in, let them stay until it was ostensibility. Their parents arrived to pick them up. While nothing actually happened, they attribute a series of nothing but bad events to encounter, including the husband suddenly getting cancer. So because they seem to need permission to gain entry to your house or in your car in some way, shape, or form, it is one theory that they are a demonic entity. The act of being able to let them into the house is reminiscent of needing to invite a vampire into your home before you can enter. And it's ways that these creatures need to gain entry into your energy before they need to. So the BEKs have nothing but negative consequences of all sorts. Accidents, sicknesses, and so forth come with them. They are alien hybrids. That's what people are thinking. Because gray aliens are reported to have solid black eyes. Some people think that BEKs might be the source of alien-human hybrids. BEKs. Wow. Aliens. Interesting.
Any way you look at it, wow. It sounds like bad news. So the BEKs can just stay the hell away from me.
Well, there's BEKs adults too now. You know, it's crazy, oh. But you don't want that stuff in your life. You just got to be aware of it. That's all.
Well,
oh,
time flies
yeah,
when you're
I think,
having fun. We're
yeah,
just about out of time.
Yep, it's time for us to, if you want to get on the site to talk about the black-eyed children, it's called pararational.com, P-A-R-A, rational, R-A-T-I-O-N-A-L.com. So it has all kinds of articles, and, just kind of be aware of those kind of things, especially when you're by yourself in the dark. Just be careful.
Absolutely. Well, I guess, as usual, it's my dinner time, and I got food just waiting for me. So I'm going to go scarf that down. I hope everybody has a safe and wonderful week, and hopefully it'll be another week where we avoid total thermal nuclear war with Russia, and then we can come back in a week or two.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Thank you for supporting Paranormal Horizons. I mean, Facebook's really got the interfaces changed, but we have over, 48,000 likes. We don't know how many people follow us. There's probably more. We were at 52 at one time, right, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. There's definitely tens of thousands of people on the Facebook page.
Oh, we would have millions. I mean, just crazy on there, just looking at our feeds, you know, it's been crazy. But anyway, but I want to thank everybody for just supporting us all these years. And I'm going to plug myself in really quick. I'm Psychic Medium Sherry. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry. It's Sherry. Or you can get a hold of me on www.psychicmediumsherry.com. Get a hold of me on the contact information. I am in Chinese medicine, and I'm also a psychic and a medium. So if anybody be interested in my services, get a hold of me. I'll try and get a hold of you in between clients, and we'll see what we can do to help you.
Very good. Well, hope everybody has a great week, and I don't know if we'll do a pre-record or re-record or whatever, but next week. But everybody stay safe and have a good week.
Hey, take care, everybody. Stay well.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.